This is Rochester Speaks. I'm John Gehring, joined by Christina Thompson and Colleen Molina today from the Breast Cancer Coalition of Rochester. And Christina is the executive director over there. Colleen has participated in their Emerging Leaders Program. And that's what we're here to talk about today, because survivors don't just heal, they lead. Christina, Colleen, thanks so much for stopping by this morning.
Well, thanks for having us.
So, Christina, over at the Breast Cancer Coalition, we have this great program called the Emerging Leaders Program. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Absolutely. The program got started in 2022, and our former executive director, Holly Anderson, really had this idea that the coalition is a really thriving organization, but as she looked around at our volunteer base, she really saw what was happening in a lot of nonprofits at the time, which was that the volunteers were aging. Some of them perhaps were snowbirds and were leaving for seasons of time. And she's just like, how are we going to continue to see new younger faces, and how are we going to get them involved? So this was really her brainchild here. And the program really is about a year in length. We really handpick about 10 younger survivors who have come to us. And as Colleen can allude to, and I can as well, I was diagnosed at 39. And it's really, not only are you going through treatment, but you're also raising families or you're working on your career, and your needs are a lot different than someone who is diagnosed at the median age right now of 62 when they are going through their treatment. And so I think the young survivors that come to the coalition immediately really just engage well with other young survivors. It's a very dynamic group here. And so we have conversations with some of these younger people. We talk about the program itself and really get them invested. And the plan is we do 3 different workshops, and it's learning kind of the history of the coalition, how we've been able to do the work that we've done. We learn about things like pink washing, which is a manipulation of the pink ribbon, especially when it comes to fundraising. And we just talk about advocacy efforts and the research initiative here at the coalition, how all that's been done. We then take a trip all together. It was to Washington, D.C. for a leadership summit at the National Breast Cancer Coalition. There, it's 3 days full of updates in research, updates in advocacy, and then we spend the next day on the Hill with our congressional members, really talking about the importance of different legislation we're working on. At the same time, this group that's coming from Rochester is having dinner together each night. They are really debriefing on what they've learned. They're getting to know each other and really form some strong bonds. Then when we're back in Rochester, another 3 workshops. This year has been really cool. We had a panel with Assemblymember Josh Jensen and Sarah Clark, and they came in and they chatted with our emerging leaders, talking about some of our local legislation that we're working on, hearing from them what makes a good advocate, why they do the work they do, very interactive sessions. And really after that, we just say, and what would you like to do? And how would you like to be involved at the coalition moving forward? There's lots of different opportunities. Some of them become trained PAL mentors. So they're going to be the mentor to someone more newly diagnosed. Perhaps there's a committee that they want to get involved in, our advocacy committee, research committee. Some of them really want to do outreach and tabling at different events out in our community representing the coalition. And then we have Colleen Molina, who joins our board of directors.
Yes, back in 2023, which came as a result of the Emerging Leaders Program. And then I know you're part of the advocacy committee too. How did your greater involvement here at the coalition come about?
It came about because I feel like at initial diagnosis, again, in my early 30s, I had no idea what was going on. I felt super lost. I was terrified. And I did not feel like I was in control of what was happening in any way. So the first day that I came to the coalition, I felt a little bit more comfortable. The more I got involved, the more I felt like I was getting a little bit of that control back. And then they started the Emerging Leaders Group. And then I felt like that just took off. Besides all of the education, which was mind blowing, everything that I learned, I had no idea about. So it was very interesting. Like all the workshops, everything was super interesting. It was great information. But on top of that, the community that we built. So it's, again, younger women that are all going through the same issues that are very different than an older woman might be going through. And then once you feel like you have that community and you're back in the driver's seat of your own life, it's very hard to get out of that car or like to stop doing what you're doing. So then you just want to keep going and do more because it feels so good. It gives you drive and focus and something to put all that nervous and scared energy into doing something positive. And then once you start helping other people, and that feels awesome, and you have a daughter at home and you're trying to make things better for her, it's very hard to step away from that. And most people don't want to. They want to keep going and keep using their influence in a positive way and make some changes and be voices in breast cancer and making sure people understand that it's happening to younger women too. And we need those younger women to be educated and step up and help us find a cure.
Yeah, Christina, I love the quote that you said here, which is why I started the segment with part of it, that you believe that survivors, they don't just heal, but they lead. And so what kind of leadership does it take from a survivor like Colleen to go to Washington to fight for better treatments, more funding, advocacy like Colleen is doing? What kind of leader does that require?
I think it obviously we were looking for people who are really dedicated, who have the desire. So that's going to be first and foremost. And we see people who really want to get through their treatment, move on, and get back to life as normal. As someone who was diagnosed at 39, my normal was blown right out of the water. There just was not a new normal. My priorities were completely shifted. And so I think Colleen is a person like that who, you know, this just and she went through all of this during COVID too. I can say that mine was pre-COVID, so at least we were like meeting in person. But yeah, it's wanting to make that difference, being dedicated, and then really getting educated as to what are the possibilities. And I think it's learning about the history of the coalition and how the survivor advocates before us did this work, picking up where some of them were ready to have someone else take over that work. It's continually making relationships happen, whether it's with our legislators, whether it's with family members that we're urging to vote or reach out to their legislators. It's just continuing to do the work. We're in a current administration that is looking to slash research and funding, and it's putting a face to what we're talking about. We go through a lot when it's cancer treatment, and so being able to use that for good in the future, can't describe anything different. It is life-changing.
So we're not that far from October, which is great because everybody's going to be wearing pink and the ribbons are going to be out everywhere and awareness. Yay, that's awesome. But that's only 1 out of 12 months out of the year. So how does advocacy go beyond just the month of October and be a year-round conversation that we're having, that we're open to having in Washington and everywhere?
I would definitely love to get Colleen's thoughts on this, but I will say the coalition here, we have an event, a fundraiser in October called Actober. Really, and the tagline is awareness has never been enough. And here we are. It's 2025, and we are talking about the same things. We do not have a cure. And I really think that this is the kind of thing we've got to put that action to use each and every day of the year. So whether it's talking to people about screening mammograms, whether it's supporting people who have had a diagnosis, whether it's navigating survivorship long after treatment is done, we are still here. We are still doing this work.
And I would say October and breast cancer awareness, the pink ribbon, all of that, I see it totally different now. Before, not that cancer is fun, but the pink ribbon, all of that stuff, you see the running and tutu and this and that. And it almost feels like it's a disease that has been overcome and we are celebrating that it's been overcome. And it has not. And we're here. It's not October. There's no pink ribbon. We're seeing the down and dirty, the ugly, the people fighting for their lives and those that do not survive. So it's not a pink party. So I see things very differently. And it takes the entire year and our entire lives to keep getting down and dirty and doing the work and working towards a cure so that we can have a big, huge party and celebrate that it's over. But unfortunately, we're not there right now. And
Yeah.
I think another thing, I think October really gives us a platform to talk about things like following the money. If I see a pair of socks at the dollar store that has pink ribbons and it says, a proceed goes to breast cancer research, I want to start asking questions about where exactly does that go. And a lot of times you're going to learn that actually sending that dollar or writing a check to a local organization that can show you how they put that money to use is much better spent. And it's not just for breast cancer awareness, it's for really donating to any sort of an organization or a cause. They're in a corp we are in a corporate capitalist society where money is the driver for a lot of things. And so while whatever you are selling can be turned pink, it doesn't mean it's doing anything for breast cancer at all. So it's just asking those questions and making sure you're doing that due diligence to really find out what you're supporting.
Yeah, and I know there have been exciting developments, right? And we are making progress in this way, but funding is so important. And that's something that we're almost like going in the wrong direction, right? So we need to be doing the kinds of advocacy that you do. And Colleen, in your case, being diagnosed so young, and I know Christina, you as well, tell us a little bit about the unique position that puts you in as a young leader in this role, not just advocating as somebody who wants breast cancer eliminated, but somebody who's actually been through that, how unique of a position does that put you in?
I think it is a unique position because we, the other women and myself, like we feel a real drive to do something. We are young. We're feeling once we're on the other side of things, if that is a possibility for us to want to do something and not just, again, like that, go on with your life. There is no going on with your life. This is part of your life forever. So we want to do something about it. And using being younger to our advantage. And when we're in DC or in local offices and on DC, if 10 women in their 30s and early 40s come in and tell you about their breast cancer and what they need, I feel like it can make a little bit more of a difference than a 75-year-old woman walking in and with the same message. It's important for both people, but even like the staffers or the congressional members themselves, it's a little bit of shell shock when you see all these people and people from their districts that this is happening to. So we want to use that to our advantage. And hopefully, like I'm still in my 30s, I'm hoping to have a long life ahead of me. And if that's 65, 70 years, I'm going to know a lot about things by then. And hopefully, there's a cure. But to keep it going and use our position where we're able to, most of us, do all these things, take in the information and have actionable items and go out and do those.
Yeah. Christina, it's about having a seat at the table, right? And you as the executive director heading this effort up. What does that mean to you, having a seat at the table?
So I think having a seat at the table is really at the core of what we want to do here at the coalition. I am able to use my voice in Washington when I talk about funding for breast cancer research because one of the immunotherapies that I was given and which really was a game changer in the type of cancer I had was developed from that program. So I can say that if this funding is not renewed, you would see faces like mine disappearing. Those are life-changing comments, and it's really grounded in reality when I am able to share those to make a difference. You and I have talked before about our research initiative here, and you know that with each proposal that comes in, we team up a scientific and a survivor advocate to rate those. That's having a seat at the table. It's using the stories and the heartache that we went through for good and for change.
Yeah, we can't say enough about the hard work that you do. If there is a woman or man affected by breast cancer in some way, how can they get in touch, learn more about the Breast Cancer Coalition?
We have an amazing website. So it's www.bccr.org. You are going to come across a wealth of information, including resources, including programs, including recorded webinars, all sorts of things. And you'll be able to get in touch with us right through that. Our phone number is 585-473-8177. And you can always stop down by if you're on University Avenue. There's a lot of construction right now, but feel free to take the drive.
Now, and then how about that survivor who's looking to contribute in more ways, looking to make a difference, looking to be a leader in this area like Colleen is? How can they get in touch, learn more about the Emerging Leaders Program?
Oh, all of the same ways. Send us an email. I'm Christina@bccr.org. I want to get to know you. I want to learn about your story, what you've been through. I want you to really just share how you want to make a difference. And we've had people that have done just that. We have in September a PALS training where people who want to become that mentor can do. We always have volunteer opportunities. So just come on down and get to know us. We'd love to have you.
Christina Thompson, Executive Director, and also a Colleen Molina survivor and a board member and advocacy member as well over at the Breast Cancer Coalition of Rochester. Thank you both for all that you do, and thank you for spending some time with me this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.